Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 5 through 14, but we're really going to focus on 10 through 14. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. I don't know if I could ask maybe someone in the back to get me a little cup of water. Thank you. Normally, I have multiple cups of water to choose from, but this morning I don't, and I don't want to get dry. We're going to be looking at Romans 8, 5 through 14 this morning. As we do, I want you to consider how we are led by the Lord. For Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. We live by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us, right? So what is it like to be led by the Lord? How is it that we are led? I had an interesting experience this past summer. We went up to Grove City Outlets, and we were trying to buy shoes for four children without going into the poorhouse, and so we were looking for good deals up at Grove City. And as we were up there, Robin spotted, or I don't know, I did, one of us saw that they had a lot of jeans on sale, and she said, "Oh, you ought to buy a pair of jeans." And she showed me a pair of jeans, and I looked at them, and I thought, wow, those are not the kind of jeans that I wear. They weren't Levi's for the first thing, you know. I mean, I grew up in the 80s when, you know, from the age of 17 on, I think I've been wearing Levi's 550s. That's what you wear. They're the loose-fitting legs. Those are all my jeans are Levi's 550s. My mom knows. That's what I wear. And then Robin convinced me. Thank you, Brandon. She said to me, "You know how people have those things they call mom pants or mom jeans?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "That's what your Levi's are. They're dad jeans. They're dad pants." And I thought, "You got to be kidding me." So she talked me into buying these jeans. And they're not like normal blue. They're this super dark blue. And they have like the faded front, you know, down the front. And I'm thinking, I look ridiculous in these jeans. You know, we would have made fun of a kid in school who wore pants like this back in the 1980s when you were wearing your Levi 550s or your 501 button flies. You could wear those too. But anything else, no. So anyway, so we have a casual Friday at the school I teach on Friday, or I teach during the week down at the school. So I put my new jeans on that Robin bought me, and I'm walking down the hall, and would you believe that I got no less, and from some of the people in this room, I got no less than four compliments from the teachers on my jeans, one student and the church secretary. Ooh, nice jeans. And I'm thinking, these people are as bad at fashion as my wife. Because I'm led by all things 80s. That's just what I'm led by. We're led by a certain way of thinking, aren't we? We're led by our minds as we think a certain way, as we walk a certain way. But as Christians, we have new minds. We have the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, and we are led by the Holy Spirit. But what does that look like? That's what we're going to notice this morning in the Word of God. Let's pray as we turn to God's Word. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word of truth. Lord, we thank You that You don't leave us in the dark, but You give us Your Word, and more than that, You give us Your Spirit with and through Your Word, that we would not only have Your instruction, but we would have Your empowering, that we would have Your presence. And Lord, we ask for that now, that we could be hearers and doers of Your Word, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the Word of God. This is God's holy and perfect Word. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. May the Lord establish this word in our hearts this morning, I pray. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, that we are led by our minds. We are led by or through our minds. That's the way we live our lives, as I pointed out to you in my opening illustration. We live by the way we think about certain things, by the way we think about fashion or culture. That determines what we think is good or right or what we ought to do. We live by our minds. And we see that all the way back in verse 5. I want to walk through these verses again so we can transition into our main part of our text, verses 10 to 14. Because we looked at this already, but just to touch down on it again. Remember verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we have two clear mindsets, two ways of thinking, two ways really of living, principles of life. It's more than just, oh, I'm thinking this way for now. No, this is who we are. As John Calvin said, this is the unconverted mind and the regenerate mind. That's exactly what we get in verse 5, the mind of the flesh. Remember Jesus said, that which is of the flesh is flesh, that's all it can be. But that which is of the Spirit is spirit. There are those who have the mind of the Spirit. If you are a believer, if you've been born again, if you are a Christian, you have the Spirit of God. And so this is two ways of thinking. We think according to our sinful natures, or we think according to the Spirit of God. And it's important that we notice, though, that all people think, right? And we all have the same abilities as far as our minds. The believer and the unbeliever, in other words, have an intellect. The believer and the unbeliever use reason. For a believer and an unbeliever, a contradiction is the same thing. A lie is the same thing. We can recognize that. Believers and unbelievers can use their memory. Believers and unbelievers have wills. There's nothing that happens to your mind in a fundamental way. You don't become different in your way of thinking. But what happens is, what fuels your thinking is different. There's a new core, a new you. You no longer think with a selfish, sinful end. You think with a God-pleasing end, with a righteous end. You seek to live for God now. That's the difference, our goal and our end. And that's what we see here in verse 5, this mindset, this way of thinking that is of the Spirit, that loves and focuses on and delights in the things of the Spirit. And then Paul, and I want you to notice this in the next couple of verses, and this is what we focused on last time, really tells us, but what is that mind of the flesh? Well, that's what verses 6 through 8 tell us. Verses 6 through 8 tell us what the mind of the flesh is. The mind of the flesh is spiritually dead. Carnally minded is dead. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we have the Spirit of God in us, we have the Spirit of life in us. Therefore, we are alive towards God. To be one who delights in the things of God is to have life in God's presence. And that's who you are if you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have a new heart, new affections, new desires. You want to obey God. And that's life. Because sin is death. To want to disobey God, to like what is evil, is the motions of death, ends in death, produces death. It affects others badly and pushes them towards death. So the mind of the flesh, that's all it is, right? Death, sin. But the mind of the Spirit, life, peace. Not just life, but peace. Think about that. You know, we had a praying mantis for a pet for a while. Daniel actually captured him and we fed him. And it was neat, you know, this praying mantis. But, you know, that creature had life. But it wasn't life and peace. It brought death to everything around it. I mean, you put a grasshopper or something in there, and it was lunch to this praying mantis. Well, there's a certain sense in which sinners are like that, right? I mean, we have life, but what do? Well, we infect others with death. We prey upon others. You know, there's the liar who's trying to use people, the manipulator who's preying upon people. And in a certain sense, with our sins, we're always either sinning ourselves or encouraging others to sin. We have life, but we don't have peace in that sense. But the believer not only has life, real life, spiritual life, but peace. He wants to see others live. He wants to help others live. His life is life towards others. I think that's what we're seeing. Their life and peace. Yes, a spiritual peace, peace of mind, but also peace towards other people. I want to infect others with life. And that's what the spiritual-minded person does. He's living in such a way that's pleasing to God for himself and would like to see others live in a way that's pleasing to God. And so we have this mind. We are living by our minds, either the mind of the flesh or the mind of the spirit. But we all have a mind. We all have a will. What is it that's driving us? What is it that we are living out of? The affections for God or the affections for sin? But it's going to come through here, right? The mind. The mind is where we are operating. So that's where the sinful nature is operating, but that's also where the Spirit of God operates. And so I want you to notice, secondly, we are led by the Spirit. Like I said, we've already looked at what it's like to be carnally minded 2 weeks ago. We are led by the Spirit. I want you to notice here, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ is in you. Well, we saw that in verse 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then he calls it the Spirit of Christ in verse 9. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, well, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, we say in the Nicene Creed. He is the Spirit of God. And so we see the Trinity really in this verse, right? We see the Spirit, we see God, we see Christ, all of them equal, and yet three persons. A powerful verse, as like verse 11 also. You see the Spirit of Him, the Father, who raised Jesus, the Son, from the dead. Father, Son, and Spirit, again, operating in the resurrection of Christ. So sometimes Scripture says the Father raised Jesus, sometimes it says the Spirit raised Him, and Jesus Himself said what? I lay down my life and I take it up again. All three persons are operating in Christ's resurrection, even as all three persons operate in creation, right? It says the Father in the beginning creates God. We understand that to be primarily the Father. And yet what's it say in John? All things were made through Him, Jesus, the Word, and without Him nothing was made. And then we see the Spirit is hovering over the waters, and the Spirit is the Creator in some sense. And so there's some mystery there, but all three persons active in creation, showing their equality and power and glory and might and wisdom, and all three persons active in the resurrection of Christ, showing their working together in our salvation and accomplishing it. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus more on how here we are led by the Spirit. We do have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is leading us. We see that in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and we already saw in verse 9, if anyone belongs to Christ, he has to have the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God in you, you're not a Christian. And so now when we're talking in verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, in other words, if you're truly converted, if you're a Christian, then what? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So His Spirit does dwell in us, and He gives life to us. So we are, you know, we live by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. He is giving us life. And I think that's what we see here in verse 10. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, some of the translations have capital S Spirit there, and some have lowercase s. And the question is that the Holy Spirit of God is life because of righteousness, or is that our spirits are alive because of righteousness? And then in what sense? Is it the Spirit of God is life because the righteousness of Christ is imputed to you and the Spirit of God brings that? Or is it the Spirit of God is life and you produce the righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit in your works? Or is it your spirit is alive by the righteousness of Christ? Or is it that your spirit is alive in the righteousness of good works? There's a lot of questions in this verse, and all of them are true. You can go in that direction. What is Paul saying here? Well, if I'm sure a lot of you have your Reformation study Bibles, and you'll see that it leans towards the capital S. Well, I lean towards the lowercase s, and I do that with much fear and trembling. But I can tell you that the editor of the Reformation study Bible, the senior editor, is R.C. Sproul, and he leans towards the lowercase s too, as I read in his commentary this past week. So he allowed whoever worked on that chapter to put in their leaning, but Sproul himself leans where I lean. Take that for what it's worth. But why? Why is it important to notice that? Okay, because the Spirit does give us life. We've already said, yes, Christ is in us. The Spirit is in us. That's a fact. But when He's in us, He's giving us life. And I think that's what Paul is calling attention to in verse 10. If Christ is in you, do you see that? If Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. All right? Now, this is actually, a concession that Paul is making here. Okay? Because he's trying to tell Christians about their condition. And what happens is what? He tells us we have the Holy Spirit, we have eternal life, and yet we see death at work in us. That's the thing that we see. And so Paul in verse 10 says, if Christ is in you, indeed, the word indeed is there in the Greek text, indeed the body is dead. Or the body is indeed dead. Okay, he's acknowledging that because of sin. But the Spirit, your spirit, is the way I understand it, are alive. The Spirit is life because of righteousness, because you're producing the works of the Spirit. Right? Jesus said, by your fruit they will know you. By their fruits you will know them. How do we know that we're dead in sin? Because we produce the works of sin. First part. The body is dead because of sin. Well, we know that we're dead because sin is the fruit. Well, the second part would be true then too, right? We know that we're alive because righteousness, good works, are our fruit. But the point here is, and this is something that the Sproul and Turretin and the other commentators who see it the way I see it, sees on is, notice he's contrasting the body and the spirit here. Normally when it's the Holy Spirit, it's the flesh, the sinful nature in the spirit. It's not too often Scripture contrasts our bodies with the Spirit of God. And so that's what I'm seeing here, but it's pointing to our real life. We have spiritual life. That even though we're in bodies just like the world, just like unbelievers, their bodies are dying, our bodies are dying. Their bodies age, our bodies age. Their bodies get cancer, our bodies get cancer. But our souls are different from theirs. Our souls are alive. The Spirit is life. Because you're not always producing the works of the flesh anymore. You are producing righteousness. I mean, if you're a Christian, you are, right? You're living for God. There's good works coming out of you. As I asked Luke Bloom on the floor of Presbytery yesterday, can a Christian go to heaven without any good works? And he answered it right. No, there's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't do good works. Because he has a new nature. He's been changed. He's not earning his way to heaven. But if he's been given the free gift of salvation that he receives entirely by faith, he will be producing good works. So he has to have them. And so the Spirit, your spirit is alive. You know this because of righteousness. We are led. We live by the Spirit, and our spirits are alive. Thirdly, I want you to notice, God's leading includes the body. God's leading includes the body. Where do we see this? Verse 11. Remember, I've already said to you, in verse 10, Paul says, yes, the body is indeed dead because of sin. But the Spirit is alive, your spirits are alive. But then he wants to, and this is another reason why I think he's talking about our spirits in verse 10, because notice what he immediately goes to in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, this is why your spirit is alive, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dies in you. This verse destroys the early Christian heresies of Gnosticism, Neoplatonism, the rigorous asceticism movements where, you know, people would beat their bodies and they would, live celibate lives and do everything they could, go on huge fasts and because the body's bad, right? And I have this life in the spirit, but it's my body. That's where sin is. And a lot of early heresies went in this direction, made this distinction. And that's what Platonism did and Stoicism and a lot of the philosophy of the day, where they affirmed real virtue more than our culture does. I'm really not knocking this. They at least affirmed there is truth, there is right, there is wrong, and the spiritual person, the philosopher, seeks virtue. You know, the Stoics, they affirmed, Seneca's alive at this time that Paul is. These virtuous philosophers, they affirmed right and wrong, truth and falsehood, justice and injustice, and that the virtuous man should seek to be good in all these things. But what did they see as bad? The place where evil dwelt was your body. And salvation, in a sense, was to be delivered from the body. And you would finally, when you die, you'll be free from this body, and you'll go and you'll join the earth soul or something like that, and you'll be pure because you won't have these lower affections. That is not Christianity. Notice what Paul says. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if he does, your spirits are alive, but that's not the end of it. He who raised Christ from the dead will, here's the future tense Greek verb, will also give life to your mortal bodies. That phrase, mortal body, it's only used twice in the Scriptures, here and in Romans 6:12, and both times positively. Mortal means subject to death. Yes, we have bodies that are subject to death, but it's not our bodies where sin is located. Notice, he's going to give life to your mortal bodies. Your mortal bodies are going to have life, the same life that you have in your spirit because you've been born again, the life that you have in your mind, you have the mind of Christ. You will have that life in your body. One day, Christ is going to give that life to your body. And notice how sure, how strongly Scripture impresses that upon us here. It says here that he who raised Christ from the dead, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, see what that's saying? Yes, God, by His Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead, and that same Spirit's in you. Therefore, if He raised Jesus, He will certainly raise you. I mean, that's our assurance. Because we have the same Spirit, the same power, the same God who raised Jesus is in us if we believe in Jesus. And He will certainly raise us. Our bodies will be renewed. We will have bodies again. You know, it was said in the sermon at Presbytery yesterday, sometimes we think of eternal life as something future. We go and we die and our bodies go in the ground and we are these wispy creatures that you can see through with wings and we live up in heaven and that's eternal life, No. If you're a Christian, you have life right now. Your spirit has already, you have eternal life. Jesus says that you have passed from death to life. He who believes in me has right now. He has passed from death to life. You have it in your soul. But death is at work in your body. The body hasn't been renewed yet. We don't get, when we believe, when we believe we get a new nature. We get a spiritual life, right? We have a soul now that's alive towards God, where before we were dead in sin. But we don't get that with our bodies yet. Our bodies are exactly the same. You don't run, when I was at one of my problems as a sophomore in football was I couldn't run faster than like a 4.9 40, and it wasn't like, well, if I would become a believer, I could run 4.1 or 2, because I get new bodies. No, it doesn't work that way. You're not any faster. You're not any stronger. If you become a Christian, there's nothing new in your body. Your mind's been renewed. Your soul, your affections, your desires, your will, that's new. You still have the old nature that tries to drag you down. But it's not like we have two bodies now. I've got my new Christian body, and look how cool it is. And no, doesn't happen yet. But it's going to happen. That's his assurance here. Salvation includes the body. That the spiritual life that we have includes and will include the body. No, our bodies are dying. Yes, they're going to die just like the unbeliever. But we will be raised. We need to recognize that spiritual life, being led by the Spirit, includes our body. And that's one of the reasons why Paul says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, our body's going to die, but our body's not like, it doesn't matter now. We shouldn't sin with our bodies. We shouldn't bring sinful things into our bodies. We shouldn't join our bodies to prostitutes, as Paul says in a very graphic way. But that's very graphic, but it tells us what? Our bodies are holy. Even though they're going to die, they're holy. because God will raise them from the dead. And so life in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, includes the body. It's not a physical, non-physical thing. Fourthly and lastly, I want you to notice being led by the Spirit, or even life in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, life in the Spirit. I told Jim, I might as well confess to you, this is why I'm going back and forth. I left my sermon notes at 84 PA, so I had changed a lot of the points, and I print out an outline, it's on my computer, but then when I go over it, I change a bunch of stuff in pen, and so, you know, Sean Nolan has that at his church this morning, maybe he wants to preach it, I don't know. So I have to try to figure out, what did I change that point to? I don't know. But I'm calling it being led by the Spirit, or life in the Spirit. And here we see verse 12. There's a shift that occurs. Paul's been telling us what we are, you know, who we are, what we were in the flesh, what we are in the Spirit. And now he puts some responsibility on us in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, therefore, because this is a fact, we are debtors. We have a debt to pay. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Our bodies are going to be renewed. Now he's talking about the flesh again, the sinful nature, not the body, the sinful nature. That's the sinful mind, the sinful heart, whatever you want to call it. This is your inclination to sin. We don't live that way anymore, right? That's what Paul says. We don't let sin reign in our mortal body that you should obey its lust. That's what he said in Romans 6:12. But here he's saying we're debtors, but not to the flesh. What's the implication? We're debtors to God because of what he's done for us. And verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, the sinful deeds of the body, according to the flesh, you will live. So this is a warning to Christians, right? Paul's saying, hey, don't get too, you know, don't just sit back and think, oh, well, this is all going to happen. No. God calls me, God saves me, and then I'm supposed to walk in that salvation. I'm alive now, and I need to exercise that life towards holiness. And I'm kidding myself if I'm going to live in the flesh. In fact, literally the Greek says mellow. It's the word you're about to. You're about to die. That's what it says in the Greek. For if you live according to the flesh, you are about to die. And it doesn't just mean physically there. Spiritual death, right? I mean, we can confess Jesus, but our lives, you'll know them by their fruit again. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. This is where the rubber meets the road. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, sinful deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, the New American Standard says you must die. There's no escaping it. This is the warning, right? But what is living according to the Spirit? That's what we want to focus on here. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, we're supposed to live according to the Spirit. And in verse 14, we get, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? I've been dancing around the subject all sermon. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? You know, there's a lot of things out there, and there's a lot of confusion on this topic, to be led by the Spirit. I think there are two areas that most Christians go to when we think of being led by the Spirit or life in the Spirit. Two things. To be led by the Spirit, we first think of in terms of guidance. Well, if I'm going to be led by the Spirit, then God's going to show me who I'm supposed to marry, right? That's being led by the Spirit. So I got to, you know, figure out who I'm going to marry, but I'm going to try to listen to the Spirit's leadings because I know, and this is where we'll default in our culture, because I know, this is what we're taught. This is what we were taught in the 80s anyway. I know that there is one person out there for me. Out of the 5 billion people on earth, there is one that's been created specifically for me, and that's the perfect spouse for me, and I've got to find that person. Because if I don't, why? I've missed the leading of the Spirit. Because He created us for each other, right? And so, you know, it's all about this, finding this perfect person for me to have what? For me to have the best life. The person that's going to make me feel the best. And the person that's going to please me the best. The person that I'm going to get along with the best. And there's somebody out there that's that romantic worldview, you know. Prince Charming's going to find Snow White, and together they're going to live happily ever after because they were made for each other, you know. And I think, especially in the 80s, I mean, that was sort of like, I remember even thinking as a teenager, well, how am I going to find the person that's made for me? You know, what if they live in China? I mean, I'm not going to be going over there anytime soon, you know, or whatever. But, you know, this guidance, and it's not just for that. I mean, it's for a job. Okay, I don't know, you know, should I go to school and major in engineering, or should I major in biology? I don't know. I gotta be led by the Spirit. He's going to show me what to do. Again, so what? So I can have the best job, make the most money, have the best life, you know, and be happy in this life. Really, isn't that what it's about? The guidance that we're mostly looking for? Oh, I don't know if I should I live in Kansas, or should I live in Manitoba, or should I live in Pennsylvania? Well, I got to be, you know, led by the Spirit, so I pick the right place to live, so that, again, my circumstances are most conducive for my happiness in this world. Because, guidance. I want to be guided into the future in this world. And that's being led by the Spirit. I'm living by the Spirit. I'm trying to find what I'm supposed to do to get the most that I can out of life. Now, even as I say it that way, I think you all see that there is nothing godly in that. That's exactly what the unbeliever is looking for in everything, right? Not, he's not being led by the Spirit or saying that he's being led by the Spirit. But that's what he wants. He wants the best wife or husband. He wants the best job. He wants to know what major to take at college. He wants to know where to live. He wants to know what stocks to invest in. He wants all those things too, and there's nothing godly in that. That's not being led by the Spirit. It's being led by our desire for this world. We call it the Spirit. The other thing that most people think is being led by the Spirit is what? Protection. I'll bet you at least half of you have heard one form of this story. I've heard multiple forms. I even heard a form in the last 2 weeks since when I started to plan this sermon when Donnie was coming. Let me give you the classic form that I've heard it in. You know, I know this guy, this friend of mine, and he knows a guy. And this guy, they were driving, they were on vacation, and his car broke down. And he had to go and try to get his car fixed. And so he tries to go to this gas station, but nobody's there. And the only other place in town is this really nasty-looking bar, you know, with all these bikers out front and stuff. And so, you know, he goes into the bar, and, you know, he tries to get some help, and eventually he finally gets on the phone, and he even witnesses to a couple people there while he's there, tells them about Christ. And then, you know, he gets out of there, and he gets in his car and goes. And would you believe that a couple of years later, these two bikers came up to him and said, you know, do you remember when your bike broke down, when your car broke down and you came into that bar that day and you witnessed to us, you actually witnessed to a friend of ours and he witnessed to us and we came to Christ since then, but we were watching you. We saw you come in. We knew you were distraught. And we were going to, as soon as you walked out of the bar, we were going to jump you and rob you and take you for all you were worth, maybe even kill you. We were going to do it. But when we went outside, we saw these two huge guys with you. And man, we didn't want any parts of them. So we backed off. We went back in the bar. And you know what? The guy's listening. He goes, I remember that. I remember when I went into the bar and I saw a couple of guys looking at me in the corner and I was kind of scared. And I remember witnessing to that one fella. But there was nobody with me. When I went out to my car, I was totally alone. There was nobody with me. And they're like, no, we saw them. They were on each side of you. They were huge. They were big. We didn't want any parts of them. They looked so mean and scary. And then, you know, the course of the story is, you see that? That person was led by the Spirit into that bar for protection in this world. That's how the Spirit leads us. He leads us in a way that protects us. I've heard versions of that story where it's two men in shining armor, two soldiers were walking next to you. I've heard tons of versions of that story. But it all comes down to this. Being led by the Spirit means every once in a while, some person on some soul trip, one time in their life, God sent some angels to protect them that they weren't even aware of. And they were protected in this world. That's how we're led by the Spirit. Maybe you'll know somebody that God will lead by the Spirit once. Maybe, you know, and protects them in this world. Is that what we're to understand as being led by the Spirit? You know what this text is showing us? That we are led by the Spirit, every one of us. Every one of us have the Spirit of God. Every one of us are being led by the Spirit, not to have the best life in this world, and not to be protected from physical harm. Not that God doesn't bless us in both of those ways, but that is not being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit of God is something that God does in the heart of every Christian, every moment of your lives, imperceptibly, constantly, using even your sins to make you more like Christ. And God is always doing that because He has given you His Spirit and He is saving you and He is working in you. Where do we see this in this text? Look at it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, what is living by the Spirit? Putting to death the deeds of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit prompts us. He convicts us of sin. And we put sin to death. And the Greek verb there in 13 is are putting to death. Because you never finish. You never get done. Because we always have sin that needs to be put to death. And it's always going to be there. If we ever think, well, I put that sin to death, you better be careful. Let him who stands take heed lest he fall. Whenever we think we got something licked, I don't know about you, but that's typically when I fall. And I was, oh, yeah, I took care of that. Yeah, right. But the Spirit is leading us. The Spirit is strengthening us. And we're putting to death the deeds of the body. And we are all doing that and we're becoming more like Christ, and that's what it means to be His Son. So we go all the way back here to verse 10 again. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. That we are being led into righteousness. We're putting to death the deeds of the body and we're putting on the new man. We're exercising the new gifts that God gives us, the new spiritual muscles that He gives us, and we're doing good works, and we're pleasing God, and we're showing ourselves to be sons of God because His Spirit is leading us in the only way that Christians and Christians alone are led into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank You that You have given to each one of us Your Spirit. It's not something that, Lord, You might do once in our lives. Your Spirit is in us now. He is in us fully. And He is guiding us and He is shaping us according to Your will, according to Your good pleasure, at Your rate of speed. Yes, You allow us to fall, that we would learn, that we would cling closer to You. Lord, how tenderly You lead us as a mother leads her children. You tenderly lead us. And You make us like You. You won't leave us, Lord. And You won't forsake us. Lord, we thank You that this is true for every believer. And it's true every moment of our lives. Help us to believe it, Lord. Help us to walk with Your Spirit in the really lasting, eternal things, the spiritual things, Christ-likeness, righteousness, that we would even now begin to live in that way in which we will perfectly live, when we will be just like You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.